Another great historian is Taranatha, who also belongs to this school, or rather to an offshoot of this school, an offshoot of the Shakyapa tradition. There's a very close connection historically between the Shakyapas on the one hand and the Mongols on the other. It was the Shakyapas who converted the Mongols, then a rather warlike and military people, not unlike the Tibetans in their earlier days, to Buddhism. And the Mongols, out of gratitude to the Shakyapas for the teaching which they had received, supported the Shakyapas politically in Tibet itself. To a certain extent was this the case, that the head of the school, the supreme abbot of the Shakyapa school, ruled Tibet, practically the whole of Tibet, for a period of approximately 80 years, from the 13th to the 14th century. And in this way we may say that the rule of the Shakyapa lamas, or supreme abbots, paved the way later on for the rule of the Dalai Lamas of Tibet. In this connection, in connection with the support given by the Mongols to the Shakyapa school, there's a rather interesting and significant story. The political power of the Shakyapas was consolidated in Tibet by Pagpa in the course of the 13th century. And this very celebrated Shakyapa supreme abbot and teacher and spiritual leader happens to be the guru of the no less famous, or even more famous, Kublai Khan, who at that time ruled not only the whole of China, but the whole of Central Asia and even parts of the West as well. Now, Kublai Khan was very, very grateful to Pagpa for the teaching, for the spiritual instruction and inspiration which he had given him, and he was very, very devoted indeed to the Shakyapa school and the Shakyapa teaching. So one day he proposed to Pagpa that he should pass a law to be obeyed by all the people of his domains, all the people of Tibet, that they should all follow the Shakyapa teaching, that they should give up following the teaching of the other school, the other sects, the Nyingmapas, Kagyupas and the rest, and follow only the Shakyapas school. Kublai Khan, in his enthusiasm, wanted to make this compulsory for all Buddhists in Tibet. Now, you might have thought that Pagpa would have been overjoyed at this sort of opportunity, and you might have thought that he would have agreed at once and probably urged Kublai Khan to make it even more stringent and add a few punishments for those who wouldn't conform. After all, this is the pattern of religious history in the West. But Pagpa didn't agree. On the contrary, he disagreed with Kublai Khan, and he dissuaded him from making, from passing that law. Pagpa said that this is not in accordance with the tradition of Buddhism. The tradition of Buddhism, he said, leaves everybody free to follow his own conscience and to select, to choose the school of his choice for his allegiance and for his loyalty. So therefore Pagpa said, let the other Buddhists of Tibet follow whatever school they like. If they want to follow the Nyingma path, let them follow that. If they want to follow the Kagyupas, let them follow that. If they want to follow the Shakyapas, let them follow that too. But there must be no compulsion, no coercion. This is the ancient Buddhist tradition. And this, we may say, is very much the general attitude of Tibetan Buddhists. We usually find that they're very, very loyally devoted to their own form of Buddhism. If they're followers of the Nyingmapa school, they're staunch followers. They believe in it wholeheartedly. If they follow the Kagyupa tradition, they're equally wholehearted in following that. But at the same time, they respect all the other traditions, and there's never any attempt to coerce anybody and to bring them into your tradition more or less by force. And one might even go so far as to say this is the general attitude of Buddhists throughout the East. Their attitude is always a very, very tolerant one, whether towards other forms of Buddhism or whether towards other forms of religion in general. So much then for the Shakya Post School.